Episode 237 of the 8K Podcast for the week of April 15th, 2019. I'm your host, James Flynn, and this is the PC Gaming Podcast from Gamers Like You. Joining me this week is Curlin.
What's up?
And Doug.
Hello.
What's up, guys? Welcome back, Doug. I know it's been a while.
It's been a couple years-ish.
Yeah, a little bit. But most of our listeners probably don't remember you were on the very first AFK podcast.
One of the founders. Then got voted off the island.
Voted off? That's not how I remember that.
Yeah, right? Right. So what have you guys been up to the last couple weeks? Curlin, let's start with you.
Just kind of tinkering around. I've been busy outside of gaming. It's never enough time, man.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen you online much this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I have been on, I've been, you know, tinkering around in Division 2 and Motorsport, man. You know, I still haven't made a level cap in Division.
Oh, man. Not even Tier 1?
Yeah. I'm like level 28 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug's been dragging me through the tiers.
Oh, I believe it.
I've just had other games to play.
Yeah.
Doug, we haven't talked to you in a while. What have you been up to?
Oh, man. Let's see. Division 2, baby. Really enjoying it. You know, I was one of those diehard fans from Division 1. You know, me and you, you've been playing on and off for a while as well, Division 1. You know, my two other neighbors, Kurt and Javier, got them into it. And now that Division 2 came out, you know, still loving it. I think they did a great job with it and been playing that a bunch. Done a little bit of streaming. I might actually start streaming Oculus VR stuff on my channel. But just picked up Skyrim VR. A lot of people have been saying that it's a lot of fun. Looking for a game that's not just a tech demo, right, Curlin?
Yeah.
It's an actual game, and a lot of people say it's the real deal. So, but been playing mostly Division. I'm not playing Anthem. I don't know what it is. I'm just not feeling it.
Ain't nobody's playing Anthem.
I know.
I want to point out that we've got Jerry Gamer in the chat room. And also, I want to recognize Jerry. Jerry is always here. He has always been here. He's been here since almost day one. And he shows up every time we're on. He's in the live stream. And Jerry, I just want you to know we really appreciate that. We really appreciate having you here.
More loyal than I've been. Bastard I am, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I haven't been playing Anthem either. I've been playing Division 2 with you and playing... I was playing Resident Evil 2, but I got to a point where I was completely out of ammo and my character is all fucked up and low on health, and I didn't realize that game, you know, if you get to that point, you're just pretty much screwed. You have to either start over or cheat.
Oh, wow.
There's no difficulty adjustment on it at all, so I just kind of put it down for now and switched over to Vampire from Focus Home Entertainment. I'm loving that game. I think I've loved every game that Focus has put out. Call of Cthulhu and The Evil Within 2 are both also put out by Focus Home Entertainment. I'm not sure they're the same developers, but I think Don't Nod was also involved with those games. I'm not sure now. But I'm loving Vampire. I'm having a good time in that, and that's been pulling me away from the Division 2 because I like playing the Division 2, but I get bored easily, and after a couple hours, I need to go play something else for a little while. So, not only that, I like to play the Division 2 with other people. I think that's when it's most fun, is when you're playing with others.
Yeah. Trying to do stuff solo can get a bit challenging because it's like mini bullet sponges coming.
Yeah, exactly. Doug, did you see the Darth Vader VR?
I did.
Yeah?
And that's the thing. You know, me and Curlin were chatting a little bit, you know, before we went live here. And I think it looks like a fucking tech demo. You know,
that's just what it is.
It's really a nerdgasm. It's a full blown nerdgasm. You know what I mean? They're selling it as there's chapters of the game. You know, and if it's anything like, there was a Ghostbusters game that's very similar to this. It seems like where, you know, you get to go into the house and check out the equipment and shoot the equipment and stuff like that. But there's really nothing to the game. I feel like it's going to be, until they prove me wrong, it feels like it's just going to be a bunch of, you know, oh man, I'm a Jedi, or, you know, I got a lightsaber and I get to deflect, you know, blaster rounds. But I need to see some substance before I'm even going to put any money into that. But it looks cool as hell, but I'm afraid it's going to be a shell of a game, a bunch of flash.
Yeah. Any price on that game announced yet?
I haven't seen.
Experience, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know. But it looks like it's going to be a live service where they're going to keep adding stuff eventually. So you don't really know what you're going to be paying for down the road.
Right. Yeah, the live service is kind of a curse.
Yes, sir.
Which one was this? Fallen?
I think it's Darth Vader Immortal is the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't been keeping up with the news. So I'm like...
You sound tired, man. You sound so tired.
Nah, not really. I'm just like...
Let me see if I can pull up the whole Darth... What's it called? The Darth Vader experience?
It's called Darth Vader Immortal.
Immortal.
Where you go to his, like, volcano planet and check out his base. And it seems like you can do a little... I mean, this is just from what I've seen on some video clips and... Some briefs on it, where you can do little puzzles. It looks like you can unlock a lightsaber, get attacked by some stormtroopers, and it's calling it like chapter one of the game. So I'm not really sure how many chapters or what's going to be involved, but it could be awesome. It could be a waste of money if you're looking for an actual game besides like just your Star Wars nerd coming out.
Yeah, I mean it looks tight. I mean, you're right about the whole nerdgasm thing. I'm getting excited.
Hell yeah.
Sitting here. And I can't, you know, I can't even do VR because I get sick. I get this motion sickness pretty bad. But man, this looks really cool.
Yeah. We've talked about before, like, I have the same problem with the Oculus, but I've got the adjustments down just right where it's working for me. And a lot of the games are just a lot of fun. You end up sitting in that thing for 2-3 hours, sweating your ass off, punching walls and punching my TV in my study on accident, depending on what you're playing.
That's hilarious.
I love it. I gotta get a bigger study for this fucking thing.
You need a dedicated room.
I do,
for VR.
No joke.
You have an extra room, don't you?
I gotta move somebody out, probably the kid. That nursery is perfect. I just gotta get her out of here.
it's just beginning.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll get moved out and chill in the house.
There you go. Oh boy.
Yeah. Fuck that. Well, briefly, what's cool is I've been playing a game on VR called Gorn. It's a gladiator simulator with semi like cartoony effects. But it's fairly good graphics and mechanics. And you just go around, just, you know, there's like a dozen and a half different weapons that you can choose from, chopping heads off, throwing the heads at other people, ripping arms off, throwing swords, using bows. And I'd love to have a room that's literally the size of that arena. That way you can just physically run around with an imaginary sword in your hand and just beat the hell out of it. I mean, that'd be the coolest. You know, I'm using the joystick on there to move around. But you can still physically move and you can dodge stuff and all the rest of it. But I would love to have an arena-sized room in my house that is, you know, scaled perfectly to that arena size, and I can just run around and be fucking awesome. I just need a mansion, and that's all.
Yeah, there you go.
A mansion without the mansion tax bill.
That's
right,
all.
Right. So... Speaking of live service games, Doug, I know you really don't keep up with gaming news to the level that I do. Curlin, you usually do. I know you've been busy this week. Did you see the article on Kotaku from Jason Schreier about Dragon Age 4?
No, I don't care for his writing.
I don't normally either.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick. Yeah, I said it.
He's in the spotlight now because of the Anthem.
Oh yeah, he dropped the Anthem bomb last week.
Yeah, so here's the other shoe just fell. But go on.
Okay, so yeah, you did see it, Doug.
I'm aware enough of it to speak about it. Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, so fill me in. What's the word?
Okay, so Jason Schreier dropped another revealing
with dragons.
He dropped another revealing post this week, another scathing article about BioWare, in which he states that the original Dragon Age 4 was canceled back in 2017 because it wasn't a live service game, and that they've since went back, and what they've got now is basically Anthem with dragons. If that's the case, I think this is going to be the end of BioWare.
Well, that doesn't sound like outside of the realm of possibility, really. Who's running EA right now? You know what I mean? It's pretty much the CFOs, the bean counters. You know.
Well, frankly, you know, when we first started playing Anthem, we immediately blamed EA. I did. I knew. I'm like, dude, EA, fuck this one hard. This is just a trash game. There's not enough here. But as you read through that article, Jason, it seems like BioWare are going to feed on a game and got people that were, you know, in charge couldn't manage. You know, it was revamped how many times, you know, flying was taken in and out. So, and then EA stepped in to say, you need to finish this. We're paying you to finish this game. So, God knows, we wouldn't have been playing Anthem now if EA would at least pushed it through with something. So, for me, I always played a BioWare game. It's fun. I just don't trust it now. I never thought I'd say I don't trust a BioWare game, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I'm scared to death to play freaking Dragon Age 4. I don't know what the hell I'm going to get, especially when they're advertising it like a live service game.
Right.
You know, what's the terminology they're using? Like, least viable product?
Oh, minimum viable product.
Minimum viable product. Just to keep us happy enough to play the game, spend our $60, and they can actually give you the full game content later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't help but make a comparison, you know, because Anthem and Division dropped so close to each other. What, a month? Not even? And the just fucking day and night is staggering that, you know, Anthem came out, there's three strongholds, and not much to do. And I haven't touched the game in some time now. But from what I understand, there's not much more to do, even now.
Yeah, won't be until May.
And I feel like I've done a lot of most of the content Division, but I'm still wanting to go back and play.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a lot
to
do.
It's a fun game.
Yeah,
and
you're
it changes.
Doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah,
again.
Literally not doing the same thing. There's, instead of there being, you know, only three strongholds, there's what, a dozen missions. I mean, I know the raid hasn't come out yet, but you know, it's a progressive system that, you know, we're mostly tier five now, and we're getting ready to do that raid that's coming out later this month. How much? I mean, if they play the Anthem game, we would have probably only be at tier one right now, and they planned on giving us tier 2, 3, 4, and 5 within the next couple of years, because it seems like that's the rate that Anthem's going right now, and that's a scary thing.
Well, what's scary is they don't have the content for Anthem.
Yeah.
The game was made literally slapped together in 6 months so they could put something out, and then they don't have anything to follow it up with, which is why there's such a delay between content patches.
Yeah, and yeah. One thing that I was completely unaware of, I don't think anyone was, but that E3 trailer that we saw, that we both saw, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you, me, and Kurt, my neighbor, yeah. We watched that and went, we're buying this fucking game. It looks cool as hell. But little did we know, that game didn't even exist. It was literally a demo. It was a closed circuit game.
Yeah.
It wasn't an actual game.
It's just a CGI.
It wasn't like a pre-alpha or an alpha. It was nothing. It was just a one-level demo to show people, and that none of that existed yet. It's just scary that they would go that length and said, hey, now make this game, when they haven't even gotten that far yet. So I don't know, it's bold, and if it would have worked out for them, if they would have been able to deliver that, then they were genius. But they're not genius. Now they look like assholes.
Yeah, I'm wondering, or I'm surprised that there hasn't been a lawsuit filed for false advertising.
Fraud. Yep. I mean,
and it's sad. I mean, it really is sad, because they pulled... Is it the Ed... Curlin, do you know, is it the Edmonton team that works on Dragon Age?
I am unsure. Let me look.
I think it is. Whichever team it is that works on Dragon Age, they actually pulled them off of that to help them finish up Anthem. Otherwise, nothing would have got done. Very sad.
And you wonder if also, you know, I don't know too much about the Frostbite engine.
From what I understand, I mean, it looks good, but the developers are all saying it's a nightmare.
It's meant for, I think it's very streamlined for one style of game, and it works out great for that, as in like a, you know, a Battlefield game. It's a first-person game, and it works out great. But I don't know. It seems like third-person, and I think Dragon Age 4 might have the same problem, where it seems like it's hard to transfer that style of game with this engine, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you also gotta look. There's a gang of stuff that's been done on Frost. Like, the last couple of FIFA games, the Need for Speeds, Mirror's Edge, let me see.
Then why was this one such a problem?
Here. It had to be the way that they iterated on it. The last Battlefront games, Frostbite, the last Dragon Age Inquisition.
I also heard that they had engineers that weren't as savvy with the program to making a game, so
yeah,
that's why
yeah.
they had a harder time. If they would have had more master engineers working on the game with that program, then that would have been better off. But
yeah, and that's become, in my mind, it's become 100% obvious when you compare Dragon Age Inquisition to Mass Effect to Anthem. You know, Dragon Age Inquisition was really good, but that was a different team. And then you flip over to Mass Effect, it had its issues, and they also tried to push the boundaries graphically, so it didn't. It ran, but it wasn't optimal, and there's still some tweaking that they can actually do to that implementation of the engine to make it to make it run better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you flip over to Anthem, and I could be wrong, but the gist that I get is that the guys that did Dragon Age Inquisition were able to layer on some tweaks to Anthem and get it to run better after that second or third patch. Because I did notice that the number of allowable threads went from 7 to like thread count minus 1. And that's from launch to that first patch. So yeah, I don't know. It's so many moving parts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand that EA was trying to consolidate, you know, like the money that they spent on a game engine by just using Frostbite for everything, kind of like how Ubisoft uses Amplenex for everything, and you know, a couple of other studios use the publisher's engine for you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't fault them for that.
Yeah, I don't fault them for that either, but. Where I think they kind of dropped the ball was making sure that engine team had all the resources that they needed in order to make every game on that engine function, you know, as best it could. And I don't know. One thing I noticed is that when you start pushing the triangle counts, man, it bogs down. It can bog down pretty hard if you don't. Tweak it right. It's kind of like the CryEngine. You know, you can do some really, really wild shit with the CryEngine if you know what you're doing. But if you don't, man, it's going to run like crap.
Yeah, and speaking of engines, did you guys see the trailer for Star Wars Fallen Jedi that was released?
Yes, I did.
No, I haven't. I didn't even know it was a thing until I was kind of scrolling through the news about 30, 40 minutes ago and was like, wait, what's this? It is like the new movie.
I'm rolling it now. All I can say is, you know, it's Unreal Engine 4. They're not using the Frostbite engine. I'm a little nervous, though. I mean, they announced that, you know, this game's coming out. It's single player only. Great. No microtransactions. Great. They didn't say if it was a live service or not. But I've got Anthem syndrome now because it's EA.
Yes. I'm scared of everything.
But at the same time, it's Respawn, the people that brought us Apex Legends. So, I don't know. This game was in development before their deal with Respawn's deal with EA. So, it could end up being really, really good. But
sure.
I posted it in the in our Google Hangout, and everybody was like, no. No way I'm fucking trusting EA again.
This is gonna be it is Respawn. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I'm hoping it's. I would assume, Curlin, you and I have premiere access that we'll be able to play this.
Yeah. See. I mean, here's the thing that I wish people would get away from. This whole, oh my God, it's Ubisoft. I'm never buying anything from Ubisoft again. I'm never playing anything from EA again. It's like, yo, different. You got to look at the circumstances that a lot of these devs are put behind these publishers. Like, I mean, Respawn has done like a gang of Call of Duties before when they were Infinity Ward. So they've got a track record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they did Titanfall 1 and 2 and Apex Legends. All of those play pretty damn good. You know what I'm saying?
Even the single player for Titanfall 2 was a really fun game. Short and fun.
Right. So for this to be this far along, and now we know that EA is the publisher, there's no way that they haven't been working on this for a while now. So, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't even worry about that shit. Yeah.
Did either one of you play, what is it, back in the day? What is it called?
Knights of the Old Republic.
Jedi Academy. I'm going to go back to an old school, like, first person single shooter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the first Star Wars game I ever played that got me hooked on PC gaming was Dark Forces 2. Because it was the first game that I was able to play online multiplayer with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
using some weird ass, like, spy something. What was the. I forgot the program that was used. It was some. I'm sure it gave me about
Game
a million.
GameSpy.
GameSpy, that's it. I used GameSpy to fucking play multiplayer with this game because it didn't have anything integrated in it. Because it didn't even know what the hell to do. But, I mean, that's what got me hooked. And then Jedi Academy came out. That was cool. But it had a multiplayer. It was a single player game. But they had a multiplayer. And it was kind of weird, but it worked and it was kind of fun. I would really like to see, even if it's just a, you know, free for all or some type of.
Well, this has no multiplayer. This is
I know.
It's good.
It's single player only. And I am looking forward to it. I'm excited. And, you know, Respawn's made a lot of great games. They're a great developer. They've kind of got the clout now that they're making so much money with Apex Legends that I think they can stand up to EA a little bit. And I'm with you, Curlin. I don't automatically say, oh, it's an EA game, it's not going to be any good. That's, you know, Dragon Age 3 was a fun game. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a 10 out of 10, but it was a great game. And the same thing with Mass Effect Andromeda. It was a good game. I enjoyed it. And again, not a 10 out of 10, but I wouldn't say it sucked either. So, you know, just because it has EA slapped on it, I don't automatically assume that it's going to suck. I'll give it a chance. And it's a lot easier now, too, that I don't have to pay for each individual game. You know, I
you
know
give
I'm
it a
gonna
shot,
able,
but yeah, not having right. to invest in it.
Exactly. It's $100 a year for me to play, you know, a
damn
ton
near everything
of,
in
essentially right. almost every game that they come out with.
Essentially,
now.
Yeah. And so if you look at it that way, it's makes sense as you know, cost analysis. I'm going to put Angry Joe up here. He's got enough. So you guys both excited for this? I think it's something you'll.
Yes. I'm not buying it out of the game. Not doing it.
I'll let you know how it is then.
Yeah, I'll come over and I'll play it on your computer. I just don't know. I just get so lonely without a multiplayer. You know?
And multiplayer is fucking overrated. It's not needed in every kind of game. Here's the thing though, I'd rather for these guys to put a story in there that's gonna be like, oh my God, this is pretty damn, than to have a publisher like EA be like, you need multiplayer. those for you. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. it the multiplayer being so ragged that it gets dragged in on Reddit and all this other kind of shit.
I agree that like, I would rather have
like, I told you it was an EA game. It wasn't going to be worth shit. You know?
I would rather it have an awesome first person or single player game, you know, and no multi than a half-assed, you know, one player game and with multi attached to it. I agree. But I'll see how you guys like it first.
Carolyn, you posted something up here in the notes about Pascal is getting ray tracing. So I guess you don't need all those RTX cores to do ray tracing.
Dude, this is all marketing. It's all marketing. It's one of those things where you're like, yeah, you can do ray tracing here. It'll tank your frame rate to oblivion, depending on the implementation. And it'll be, it plays on the whole, I want ray tracing. I think I'm gonna go get one of those RTX cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so freaking obvious. Like, everyone knows that, you know, that type of thing can be emulated through shaders. But to enable it when at first it was supposed to be just, you know, an RTX exclusive feature, and now they realize that, you know, people aren't jumping through hoops because to grab those cards because they set the prices out of a lot of people's reach or what they were willing to pay. You know, now it's like, hey, you can use RTX on your GTX. You know, you just ray for a quarter of your frame rate.
Well, we kind of knew that the whole ray tracing thing was going to be a gimmick to try to get people to pay more.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I mean, we kind of called it.
Well, I mean, and that's not to say that the tech is worthless, but the way that they did it, I don't know. If I were Nvidia, I would have waited to a die shrink, to a 7-nanometer. That way, they could still have put enough hardware in there to boost the performance and add the ray tracing on top of it. Essentially, what this next release is probably going to be is what they should have led with RTX. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see what they do. Yeah, I know one thing: if they price them out of this world, they can expect the same number of sales because ain't nobody trying to pay for
it. You guys see this bullshit from the Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford?
What did he say this time?
He just more slamming the Steam store, saying that, he got pissed about the review bombs when they announced they were going exclusively to Epic for 6 months. Gamers, of course, were angry, so they went and review bombed Borderlands 2 and 1 on Steam. And Steam acted, you know, took those reviews off. And actually, I like the way Steam does it. You can choose whether or not you want to see those reviews, and it lets you know that, hey, you know, this is out of the ordinary for this game. So I like that they don't take it completely off.
It's a fucking aggressive way of getting back at it, wouldn't you say? Destroy the game on Steam.
Well, I wonder if that's okay. So that's an outlet for that gamer's anger. If they didn't have that, what are they going to do now?
Murdering puppies, probably. I just assume.
You know what I mean?
They take to Reddit, essentially.
Yeah, Reddit is another good one.
But, I mean, Reddit is still disconnected from where someone can say, oh, this is $10, I'll press buy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
Clint, I know you do.
Write an angry letter. I do.
Strongly worded. That's even worse.
Strongly worded.
Because then you're disappointed. You're not angry, you're disappointed.
Like an old man. I write an angry letter. Well, what do you guys think about exclusive deals? Because we haven't talked about it on the podcast yet.
I think it's doing a number on my hard drive, downloading all these fucking different things to play my game. I gotta download Epic, I gotta fucking download Steam. Oh god, thanks a lot.
I don't care if I have to download another store. I just don't like the way they're going about it. I don't like the way they're going about getting these exclusives and locking other stores out. There's a difference between, you know, it being available for sale on Epic, and it's on a sale, and I download their store and then play the game. Whereas the difference between that and it's not available anywhere else but Epic, and now I'm forced to download the Epic store to play the game.
What's the difference when they have PS4 exclusive games, though?
Well, here's the thing. Typically those PS4 exclusive games are from Sony's own studio. Mm-hmm. Same with Microsoft. You know what I'm saying? So if this was an Epic game on Epic Store,
exactly, then you would understand.
I'd be cool with it, because at that point, it's no different than everything that EA publishes being on their store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're just like grabbing shit from all over the place, you know, and that's what I think is really annoying to people.
Yeah, they're throwing their money around. They're making deals. They're paying these developers to be exclusive on their own store. And a store like GOG isn't going to be able to compete with that. They don't have a money machine like Fortnite. So you're locking GOG out. You're locking, you know, Steam has the money to compete like that. And people have said, and I agree, Steam needs to step up. If it wants to stay the dominant force in the market, it too needs to step up and slash its the cut that it takes for developers and be more competitive. But Epic is hurting these smaller stores that don't have the funds to compete like this. And I think that's why people are pissed off and why they're saying it's anti-consumer. It has nothing to do with how many clients I have to download. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, it's, I was obviously just fucking around with
it. It's the way they're doing it rubs me the wrong way. I think it's dirty. I think it's anti-consumer. And I think that the gamers deserve better. And I don't understand gamers who defend this kind of behavior, because it seems to me like you're defending someone that's hurting you. It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome, like gamer Stockholm Syndrome. You're making excuses for Epic and for Gearbox, and they're trying to hurt you, ultimately. You just don't see it.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess.
I, for one, will not be purchasing Borderlands 3. I was just going to wait for it to be on Steam, but Randy Pitchford's comments have kind of... I can pass on it. I mean, there's other shit to play.
You know that I played Borderlands 2 for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We played it. I mean,
I love the game. I love Tiny Tina is the best character ever.
Hell yeah. Right?
I love her.
Nut job.
I love her. I there's a best of Tiny Tina on YouTube. I watch it all the time. I'll have it just playing in the background because she's hilarious.
But I'm telling you, man, I'm not buying it out the gate. I'm not pre-ordering it. I've just taken too many lumps in the last couple of years.
I've heard that sentiment from a lot of
loading, pre-ordering games. I just can't. I feel like at a certain point, you know, like Battered Wife Syndrome, I just keep coming back and pre-ordering games. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, but I'm like, they'll do it right this time, you know, and I'm finally leaving. I'm leaving. I packed up my bags. They have to prove to me they're changed, and that's what it's come down to. And that's the thing. Borderlands 3 can come out and do all the right things and make it just like Borderlands 2, but it's been a long time. When the fuck did that game come out? How many years ago?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
I don't even know.
Borderlands 2?
So, if you think about it, so much has changed in the industry since that game came out. That it's such an innocent, good game. Now, with, you know, microtransactions, you've got loot boxes. You got fucking loot boxes now in these fucking games. They wouldn't even consider that really, you know, that back then as a major source of making money. Now, it's the best way of making money, and it could definitely go that way. So I'm gonna sit back and, you know, cross my arms and wait and see how everyone else is taken to the game first.
It's just a rumor, but I'm hearing that 3 is gonna have paid XP boosts and
that's scary.
A paid drop rate boost, which is fucking scary.
That's nasty.
I mean, that's some Bethesda ass shit right there with what they're doing with, you know, Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Jerry says he's gonna buy Borderlands 3, but he's waiting for the bundle that includes all the DLC. I mean that's probably what I'll do too. If I ever buy it, it'll be on Steam and probably in a bundle.
I enjoyed the first and second one way too much not to buy it, but I'm not gonna buy it until it reaches Steam. And if I'm gonna wait 6 months, I might as well wait for the DLC, the Game of the Year pack, like Jerry mentioned. You know what I'm saying?
At least we'll know by that time what kind of game it is, and whether it's gonna, you know, the player base is gonna go, you know, down the toilet instantly like Anthem. I mean, oh my god,
Yeah, so here's the thing, Randy, if you're listening, I want you to understand something. So all of that extra whatever percentage that you think you're going to gain from Epic, you're actually losing, because there's a lot of people like us that's just going to be like, fuck you, I'll wait. I got plenty of other shit to play. You know what I'm saying? So when this hits, you know, on the Christmas sale, it hits $20 for all of the DLC, but it's a year and a half later, we're going to be cool. And your margins won't be what they were if we had just were excited to buy the game on launch day on Steam. Do that math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your calculator out.
Right. That's the thing that kills me. It's like, ooh, we can get an extra, 18%? Because the rumor is Valve gets what, around 30%, and Epic is getting 12.
Yeah,
that's cool, but that's short term. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you launch on both, then you know, I guarantee you that pre-orders will be up if they were offering the game on Steam. And I'm pretty sure that right now, since it's only on Epic, they aren't really getting a whole lot of the number of pre-orders that they did for even the crappy one, which is that pre-sequel stuff. So, yeah.
Here's what I have to say.
You got knocked the fuck out, man!
You guys hear that?
Nope.
Oh, it was Smokey from Friday. You got knocked the fuck out, man!
Oh. No, we didn't hear it. I thought it was like epic silence.
I guess you guys wouldn't be able to hear that. Sorry why that was announced. What else we got? I think that's pretty much it. We talked about Gearbox and the Epic Store and Borderlands. That's all I got, unless you guys got something else.
Hey, everybody, it's Flynn. Keep listening after the AFK podcast is finished. I got something special for you guys. I'm happy to announce a new series on my YouTube channel with an old friend. I'm sure you'll all remember Logan. He was one of the original hosts of the AFK podcast and the host of the AFK podcast for quite a few episodes. So keep listening after the AFK podcast is over, and enjoy the audio version of our new series called The Critical Geeks. And please head over to my YouTube channel and check it out. Thanks.
That's all I got.
All I got.
All right.
It's been pretty quiet. I mean, I guess everything's gonna start coming out around the summer with all of the E3 and Computex and all of the kind of stuff. So it'll pick up again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, thank you both for being here, Doug. It was good talking to you again. You're streaming on Twitch, right?
I am.
You want to give out your Twitch streaming?
Yes, Manbearpig 302. Once or twice a week at best right now with my schedule.
Okay, great. Curlin, anything you want to plug?
Nothing at the moment. I got a couple of things in the works, so we'll see how.
We'll all stand by then.
Already did.
All right,
great. Thank you both for being here.
My pleasure.
We would love to hear from our listeners. Email us at mail@theafkpodcast.net. And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and most places where you'd find a podcast. And that's it. We're out. Jerry, thanks for being here.
I'll talk to you guys.
Later, Doug.
Hello, everybody. I'm James Flynn, joined by my co-host Logan, and this is The Critical Geeks. Twice monthly, we take a critical look at what's trending in gaming, TVs, movies, technology, and more. This week, Captain Marvel. What's up, Logan?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing? It's been a long time.
It has. It's been measurable in years now, hasn't it? It's been a couple years.
I think it has. Super excited to be back producing content with you again.
Stoked to get your message. Absolutely stoked.
I've been kicking something around. I've been kicking ideas around for a while now about something that we could collaborate on. And I thought that a show that took this tone and this approach would be perfect for the two of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure we won't agree on every topic, but that just makes for a better show.
That's right. That's right. So why don't you start off there and tell us what you've been up to the last couple of years?
I recently restarted the AFK podcast. Prior to that, I was back in school, which is why I stepped aside as the host of the podcast originally. Moved, playing a lot of video games, watching a lot of movies, enjoying family time. What about you?
Nice. Well, pretty much the same as you, just a lot of family time. I've been extending my my time until retirement by doing some renos around here. You know, we invested in a camper trailer there last summer, so we're going to be hitting the trails and a lot of camping this summer, but it put a couple more years on the mortgage to do that. But, you know, you gotta invest in the family time for sure.
Absolutely. You only live once.
Yeah, I've been playing some video games here and there, catching up on some old comics, and watching the occasional good movie, and far more of the fair share of bad movies than good ones, though, unfortunately.
The movie we're going to be talking about today, which side did that fall on, good or bad for you?
Well, I don't know. I want to meter it out a bit. I just don't want to be like, absolutely. Why don't you start?
Well, if I didn't mention, we're going to be talking about Captain Marvel today, and there's been a lot of controversy, I guess you could say, around this movie.
Yeah, it's been divisive.
It's been divisive, yeah. There's been a lot that I think has been blown out of proportion by the media, because there were things that were mentioned in the movie that I didn't actually see it that way in the movie, but I guess if you want to really, you know, look for it, if you look for it, it's there, I guess. But I thought it was an okay movie. I didn't hate it. I didn't absolutely hate it. Now, I know you're a comic book guy. I'm not. I'm just a Marvel movies guy, so I don't know. I know there's a lot of issues, and there have been with all the Marvel movies, between the comic character being different than the actual movie character. But beyond that, I think gender politics got pulled, obviously, into this. There was a lot of that online and in the media. And it wasn't something necessarily started by fans. I think it came from comments made by the lead actress in the movie. Yeah. A lot of the comments she made about this movie not being for white males, which is the largest portion of the audience that would consume these movies.
Yeah, I'd pretty much agree with all of that. You know, even your assessment of the movie, as far as comparing it against the other Marvel flicks that have come before it, I'd say it's definitely bottom half. But gender politics had nothing to do with that. Like you said, like I read my fair share of comics. Captain Marvel has never been one of them. But I am versed enough in the lore to know that, you know, a female Captain Marvel does exist, wasn't the first, won't be the last type thing. But with all of the Marvel flicks that have been coming out, I try to watch just the first trailer and that's it. I don't watch interviews. I don't watch any of the other trailers that come before because I really don't want to ruin any of it. And I find over the last few years, trailers have really been giving us a little bit too much beforehand. So I heard through the news about some of the comments that were made, but I largely just pushed them aside because I was interested in the flick. I was interested to see how they introduced the character into the universe itself and just how it came across. Now, that being said, partway through the movie, I did find the gender politics sort of in your face, at least in a couple parts, that took me out of the scene, let's say. I guess that was the worst of it. Just broke that illusion of disbelief for a few minutes. But to me, that was as bad as it got.
Yeah, you know, and I would tend to agree. And I took the same approach. I tried real hard not to make a judgment one way or the other on the movie, mostly because my daughter and my wife were so excited about it, and I didn't want to kind of drag them down. So I didn't say anything. I wasn't going to suggest we go see it either, because a lot of what I read and heard on the internet was kind of pissing me off, to be honest with you. I just left it up to pretty much my daughter. If she wants to go see it, I'll take her. So we ended up going. I did see a little bit of the girl power thing, but I know we've seen that before in other areas of pop culture. Wasn't as in your face as I thought it would be, the way it was built up. So I was surprised about that. But the other thing I noticed that nobody was talking about was the statement the movie was making about refugees. Nobody was talking about that. And that was in your face more than the gender politics were.
That was like, to me, that was the plot twist. Cause I didn't even, that was such a subtle undertone to the whole movie that I didn't even notice it until right at the very end. Then I was like, oh shit.
Like, oh my God, this is about refugees.
That's what the movie's about. I know.
I don't want to stray too far off the topic, but is the refugee issue a hotter topic? Because just for our audience doesn't know, you're in Canada, I'm in the US,
Yeah.
Is the refugee issue a hotter topic in Canada than it is in the U.S.?
It is a topic. We've got a government right now that, you know, made some changes over the past year, for good or for bad, whichever. It's always a topic, let's just say. It's not a hotter or not hotter. I think that is sort of a global issue, is a better way to put it now. I think it's more, I don't know if it's just me getting older, or it's just I'm taking notice, or it actually is a hotter topic than I would give it credence to. But, you know, it is what it is. It's been discussed years in the past. It's still being discussed now, and I'm sure it's just going to be just as hot in years to come.
That twist I was not expecting, though.
Yeah.
When the guys you thought were the bad guys, spoiler alert, ended up being the good guys. And then the guys you thought were the good guys were the bad guys.
And I mean, I wasn't expecting this in that movie. Simply because, like in the comics, like you have decades of the Skrull War and the invasion of Earth and all this fun stuff, right? The Fantastic Four have incredible historical stuff on them, and they also take a bit, of a different route with those comics. So that was a bit more quick to bring that in than I was expecting. That's actually one of my biggest criticisms about the whole Marvel universe itself is that. Actually, no. I'm going to take that back. About the entire comic book movie genre is that they try to do it too fast rather than taking a page out of, you know, what's not even arguably, but one of the greatest movies ever, which is the whole original Star Wars trilogy. Like, it took three entire movies to tell that whole story. The entire first movie only sets up the twist for the second movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is amazing. And that, you know, I think that they've sort of, it's too much of the give me everything right now mentality with the way that the movies have been going. So just to, you know, like you said, just take a bit of a tangent for a second. Some of the things that I really feel they dropped the ball on is World War Hulk, the entire series about Hulk being off-world and a gladiator and that entire story. That by sending Thor there in Ragnarok and bringing him home already, you know, killed any possibility of that storyline. And I think that is an amazing, amazing story. One of the best, at least top 20, if not top 10 of the greatest stories ever written in comic books, and that they just sort of cut it out.
Yeah. Well, they're cutting everything out and condensing it and changing it, obviously. But I think in order to tell that whole story, you would have to have made six movies just about the Hulk and Thor, right?
Yeah. I think they should have done it. I think it's easily, if they would have done it correctly, like, and I mean, been true to the source material, that it would have been billion-dollar movies to do World War Hulk. I honestly think they probably may have been able to do it in three. So the movie on, I think they could do it in three, where they do a movie and a half on Scar and then his travel back to Earth, and then another movie and a half, or maybe just the entire end of the second movie would be his arrival on Earth, and that, oh shit, like, shit's gonna get real now, and just kill it then, and then start the third movie just on Earth.
Yeah. Do you think superhero fatigue has set in at the box office yet?
Yes, it has. I absolutely believe that. But I also feel, I mean, it's the same statement as I said before, that they've done themselves a disservice by straying too heavily away from the source material. And I think that Marvel, by and large, has done a way, way better job of at least respecting the source material than DC has done. I think the last few DC movies, and absolutely, I'm taking Aquaman. Actually, you know what? I'm just talking about the last Superman and Superman versus Batman. Like, they're trash movies. Absolute trash movies. Batman versus Superman, if you haven't read the comic and you've seen the movie, and you'll know the difference as you read the comic, you're like, it's everything it should have been. It sets up the why did it happen, the animosity between the two of them, why did they actually have to fight, what were they fighting for, how to shape that outcome. Oh, it's just, I hated that movie. I absolutely hated that movie. It's a great superhero flick, and I'll put that in quotes, because it's not really Batman, it's not really Superman, it's two superheroes just having a fight throughout the entire movie.
It's almost like a different universe.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that started with the that last Superman movie as well, when you know, he got in a fight with Zod in the end. And we're going to spoil the shit out of everything. So
these movies have been out for a while, folks. If you haven't seen these movies by now, it's on you.
Absolutely. When he kills Zod in the end, that wrecked it for me. It's like, no, absolutely not. And we can argue, absolutely, and it's an argument I'll lose about Superman never having killed someone before or Batman never having killed someone. Has it happened? Yes, absolutely. But it's not who their character are. It's things that have happened from time to time in a comic. Like, not over the span of a few comics where they're like, all right, you know what, in this comic, Batman's going to just murder the shit out of entire gangs of people. No, it's one person, one comic, and I can think of maybe three instances that happened. As for Superman, I don't know. Like, I grew up on the Richard Dahmer cuts of the original Superman movie, and that to me was the defining Superman, right? Like, that General Zod fight in the middle of town or the middle of the city where Superman looks around and he's like, I got to take this fight out of here. And so he flees. Like, that's the kind of shit that I'm talking about. That, yeah. You know, he stands for the greater good.
I didn't have a problem with him snapping the dude's neck, but that's kind of just my own personality. I want to see the good guy get some vigilante justice once in a while. But I didn't grow up with... You know, with Superman, with the exposure to Superman that you did. So I understand where you're coming from. I would hate to see someone take my favorite character, whom I know inside out, and then give them a character flaw that for my entire life was not a character flaw, but a something you'd look up to him for. So I totally understand that. But getting back to Captain Marvel real quick.
Did you like the 90s nostalgia?
Because I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed them going back to seeing the Blockbuster video. The music they were playing just brought me back to 90s alternative rock mixes and at work when I was in the car.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought it was super cute. I thought it really set the movie well. It was a great throwback. I even appreciated how they had Fury look in it and how they had him act. You know, it showed how far he's come in such a short time.
Oh, and it looked good, too. You know, it looked better than the Tron movie when they tried to make Flynn look young. It actually looked pretty natural in...
What was your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, man. I'm just thinking about the Blockbuster right now. I thought the cat thing was stupid. There were a few laugh-out-loud moments. The fight scenes were just okay. With it being just an okay movie, I'm having a hard time... thinking of an absolute favorite part of the movie. I guess I don't really have one. There were a few parts there where she was being a badass, and I kind of liked that. Always like a good fight scene, but I didn't really have a part in the movie that really stands out. And I have only seen it once. How about you?
For favorite part, I'd have to go fight scene at the end. When she finally gets a hold of her powers and starts rocking it up. I think that the way they handled the colors there, I thought the colors just absolutely made that whole scene. I think that they blended in well with her whole suit and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just remember watching that scene and her rocketing through the air, and I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of shit right there. Like, that's like, I don't know if it's just, again, me getting older, but I really appreciate some of the subtleties of how they do certain things like that. That just really, I felt, really just exemplified the character. But of course, it was surrounded by two of what I felt were the worst scenes of the entire movie. And I agree with everything you just said. That cat, I thought it was quaint and funny right up until the end Fury scene. And then I was like,
that was
are
dumb.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's our explicit tag. I was ready to lose it. Because do you know how Fury supposedly lost his eye?
In the comic book universe?
Yeah.
No.
A grenade blows up in his face.
Okay.
So you got on one hand.
That's a big difference.
A grenade to his face, or you get scratched by a cat. And I don't care. Sure, space alien cat? Sure, still looks like a cat.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. You guys can mess off with that. No.
Do you think this movie was hurt by all the drama before it came out? Do you think it actually did impact box office sales?
No, I don't. Because I think that everyone who was going to go see the movie would have gone to see the movie regardless. I think that most of the fans in general, if it did impact it, I think that the impact was probably negligible. you know, maybe a couple extra hundred thousand, maybe a million. But when you're about to crack a billion, is it? Have they cracked a billion yet?
Come on, Google, don't fail me. Yeah, it has broke a billion. Yeah, it broke a billion worldwide.
Yeah. So even if it's 10 million, it's really a drop in the bucket when you've got a whole billion sitting there. So, yeah, I wouldn't say that that it did itself a disservice. You know, I don't recall hearing about any widespread protesting, you know, or ticketing of the movie theaters or anything like that. So
I do think that in the future, Disney should get a better handle on their employees, what they say before the movie comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, go ahead.
Brie Larson's a beautiful woman. She's very pretty, but the shit that comes out of her mouth is not. So Disney needs to get a handle on that.
Yeah, I would agree. I felt in my, just my opinion, I felt the acting of Captain Marvel was just mediocre. The whole in your face theme of, you know, strong woman.
Right.
I just felt it was just meh.
She never smiles.
No.
It's like you don't have to be, you can smile and still be a strong woman.
Yeah, I don't understand what she was trying to convey through a lot of her scenes.
That's got to be the director. I mean, that's got to be the direction that she's getting from the director.
Yeah. I mean, I look at this movie and I think back to Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman just was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Awesome movie. Yeah. Probably my favorite.
Yeah. Like, that's just how you do it. Like, absolutely. But this, yeah, I definitely put it in the bottom third of the Marvel movies. Take it or leave it.
It's got to be in the bottom third for me too, because it wasn't even very memorable. I mean, it was okay. It was worth the money I paid for it to see it. It had some great laugh scenes. It had some great fight scenes. But you're right. The acting was kind of robotic at times and just mechanical, I guess would be a good word for it.
Yeah, that's perfect right there. Absolutely. If it ever comes out on Netflix, I'll watch it again. That's about it.
Yeah. I'll probably get it on Blu-ray just because I've got all the other ones and my daughter wants it. She really liked the movie. So, and I think that's kind of, it helps soften my attitude towards the movie too. Because by the time this movie came out, I was like, no, I ain't going to see that. When my daughter's like, yeah, you know, I really want to see it. I'm like, okay, I will go. And then she enjoyed it a lot. So I wasn't going to leave in the theater. The kids were all happy and enjoyed the movie. I wasn't going to start talking negative about it and bring down the moment. You know what I mean? So am I in a hurry to watch it again? No. Not like I've watched Thor a half a dozen times. You know, I love the Thor movies. I love the Avengers movies. They're great. Tell Brie Larson to smile once in a while. I saw the outtakes. I've seen a lot of the outtakes from this movie where she's laughing and joking around. And I'm like, why didn't you do that in the movie?
It's just so in the middle of everything. She's not angsty or mad or messed up in the head. And she's not happy and smiling. She's just there.
Robot face. She's just robot face the whole time.
Absolutely.
That's terrible. Because I've seen her smile. She's got a beautiful smile. She needs to use it more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought the rest of the cast was good. Agent Coulson, his cameo, I loved it. I ate it up. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, he looked good too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, I thought again, that was, you know, he's a great view into that side of the character, you know, considering the setting, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was the early mid-90s, it looked like. Qualifies as a good movie. How much does a good movie make these days?
$1 billion.
If it makes $1 billion,
you know, he did something great. So I am surprised it broke a billion, but I think everyone is just so raring to go for Endgame that they'll just, I got to get something in between now and Endgame, just something to tide me over.
It's the methadone. For Marvel movie fans, it's their fix until they get their next fix.
Absolutely. You haven't seen Shazam yet, have you?
No, I haven't. My daughter is going to see it tomorrow with friends. I've heard from a lot of YouTubers that I watch and trust that have all said it's great. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I'm going to see it this weekend. So the next time we get together, let's throw that one on the list.
Well, then I definitely will have to go see it this weekend, and we can talk about Shazam on the next show.
Sounds good.
Great. Well, I look forward to doing more of these with you. We're going to try to do these twice monthly. They may not come out on a regular schedule because Logan and I both have day jobs, but we will do our best to get at least two of these out to you a week. Thanks for watching. If you like this video, consider subscribing below and hit the like button. And we'll see you in the next one.